can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I almost forgot what I was saying there. On this episode, we are going to talk about Apollo 18 and The First Man, the one that just came out with Ryan Gosling. So we're going to start with Apollo 18, actually, just because it's an older movie. It was released September 2011. Director's name is Gonzalo Lopez Gallego?
Mm-hmm.
Did I say it? Oh, okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Screenplay was by Brian Miller. Now, this is this movie is supposed to be like a horror thriller flick. So It's about an Apollo mission, supposedly one that, you know, was real, is what they say anyway.
Yeah. So they said it's the one that like got like covered up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Also, for the director, I think this is his first English film, like American film, but I think he's a Spanish director.
Oh, I thought they were.
Is he Canadian?
Yeah, I thought they mixed with Canada. U.S. and Canada did this together.
Oh, maybe. Okay. I'm
not
sure.
Anyway, he could have been. I don't know. But from what I read, it was a U.S. Canadian film.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But anyway, so this is an Apollo mission that was, so their objective was to install radar scanners on the moon. But when they get there, when the three astronauts get there, they find a nearby Soviet space capsule and a dead cosmonaut. Mm-hmm. Cosmonaut is a Russian astronaut, which I just learned today because I was like, why do they keep calling him a cosmonaut? Why isn't he a regular astronaut? So I was a little confused. But to clear that up, cosmonaut is a Russian astronaut. This movie, I have to see scary movies at home or in a theater by myself because I'm that person. Like I've always said before, I scream at the TV, I talk to the TV, and it's exactly what I did. I'm like, why are they doing that? They don't need to be doing all that. They're going to keep all this a secret? Oh, no. So I had so many questions and didn't get any of them answered because, you know, TVs don't talk back to you.
But so sorry, Ariane.
I know. It feels so sad sometimes. I'm like, just answer my question. But this movie reminded me of when Paranormal Activity meets Blair Witch Project space versions.
Yeah,
of each
I could totally see that.
Yeah. So when reading them, it really gives you the feel of, oh, yeah, this was like based on, you know, actual findings or actual events or, you know, true audio or whatever. That's just what they say.
Right. Because in reality, the Apollo 18 and 19 missions were canceled.
Yeah, the 17 was the last.
Yes.
So, yeah. But I think they say that because people scare themselves when they know that there could be something out there, especially if you're like a conspiracy theorist. You're like, oh, this totally could have happened. Yes,
right.
Like,
as soon as you go into the realm of like alien conspiracies.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. So I was creeped out. It did scare me because I am just a jumpy person naturally, and so like the parts where, you know, it would just flash. Like there was a part when they found the cosmonaut and he was like in a dark crater and they had the big flash on the camera they were using, and then it flashed like pictures of the rocks, picture of the rocks, picture of the rocks, and then the cosmonaut's dead, you know, face and like stuff like that. It just like scared me because it's just like, ah, there. But it also creeps me out because I'm not one for guts and gore. And it just makes me sick, like physically. I'm like, I gotta go to the bathroom. So I can't do, like, I don't even watch The Walking Dead because it just it's so gross to me. I'm like, I can't even do it. I don't even care if it's an awesome storyline. I can't watch it. It's just nasty. So it's hard to watch things like that, which people are like, oh, you're missing out. This movie's so good, or this show is so good. And I'm like, oh, well, I can't watch it, because that's all I'll think about is, ew, he was bleeding, his guts fell out, somebody crushed his head, something, you know. So, but this movie, I mean, it was interesting because it did give you that kind of scary, if you were at home by yourself, or just home with your family and you wanted to, you know, watch kind of like a creepy movie, if you're into, you know, like the Paranormal Activity series. I think there was like four of those made, three or four of them. I don't know. Because that's kind of what it felt like. There was even a scene where one of the astronauts, like after he ends up getting sick because of a cut that he got in his side, and he's like recording the other astronaut in the middle of like their sleep time, and he's just standing over him recording him. It's like really weird. I'm like, okay, that's where you get the Paranormal Activity, because he's just like recording him for no purpose at all.
Yeah.
So, and that's weird. Like, you don't stand over me while I sleep. What? Kind of thing. It's so annoying. But yeah. And then, I mean, the whole like scary alien thing was the rocks. The rocks were the alien life.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
That was, I don't know. It wasn't really believable for me, because even they show like tracks of aliens, and they're like definite tracks. Like, they have a shape like a half moon, and then like a almost like a claw mark. But I was like, I don't feel like a rock would make that.
I don't think that's the footprint of a rock.
Right, exactly. But who am I to say? It was hard to believe. It was hard to believe.
Yeah. Isn't that like the thing though? Like the rocks turn into the aliens, or they like disguise themselves as rocks?
Yeah.
Or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they can go back and forth
between those two. Exactly. From the alien form to a rock.
Yes.
And they're tiny rocks too. It's not like some big boulder rocks. They're that's teeny. True. Yeah. So it was really weird. Lots of holes. Like, because like I said, I talked to the screen. I'm like, well, why did that happen? This makes zero sense. They just gonna go on with that? Like, that's what I do. Sorry, people. Don't go to the movies with me.
I would say though, when I watched this movie, it scared the bejeebus out of me. Like, I mean, okay, I am not tough. I have said that many times in this podcast. We all know. But I watched it, and then like that night I had to sleep in my roommate's room, my housemate's room. I was like, I can't sleep in my room. Like, can I just stay here on your floor? Like, it scared me. And I mean, some of it is, I get kind of freaked out by like the alien idea.
Yeah.
But then it's also so dark, because space is dark.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
So it's like frightening, and there's like already the level of desolation because you're on the moon.
Yeah.
And the idea, like, there shouldn't be anything else here. Right. We're on the moon. And just the idea there's like something alive on the moon freaks me out a lot.
Yeah.
You know? And just the level of like, oh, government conspiracy, like they're covering it all up.
Yeah.
Now that they've planted that idea in my head, I'm like, maybe.
Right.
Exactly. Which is dumb. But they did that to me. Exactly. And now I'm upset about it and terrified.
I get it. Because that's how I felt when I watched it. And then, especially like them finding the Russian cosmonaut guy. I feel like that was redundant, like the Russian. Anyway.
You mean like you don't like the classic like U.S. versus the Russians?
It's just, I mean, I get it. But then it's like, oh, he's dead. Why is he dead? They left him here just by himself. They knew about it. And then trying to find out why he's dead. Like the whole build up for that. Because then like they go search his space capsule. There's blood everywhere. And they're like, what happened? There has to be another one. They got in a big fight because it was destroyed. And then I was like, this is, okay, just tell me what happened. I don't want to sit here and figure it out with you. And then when they get their little samples from the moon, and like, oh, it was just hard. Like, yeah, it did scare me, because movies like this are scary to me. Because like I said, I'm a jumpy person. But then I always have to go back and research. I don't like to research the movies before, because then it just ruins it for me.
Right.
I like to, if I'm watching a horror movie, I'm watching it because I want to be scared. Or if I'm watching a comedy, I'm watching it because I want to laugh, you know?
Yeah.
So I'll research them after and then be like, was it real though? So then afterwards, I'm like all scared during the show. And then I'm like, no, it's just, it's not real.
That's good, though. That'll help you sleep. I don't do that. I'm just like, oh, God, it was real. There's something out there.
It does. It does. And the whole rocks coming alive and then seeing the Russians and then them saying they're, like, contaminated and, you know, they can't bring it back. Like, the one dude that was still in the orbiting... what's it called? Like spaceship or whatever it's called. Yeah,
because there are three astronauts. Two of them go in the little capsule to the moon.
Right.
And then there's one that stays in, like, the ship that orbits that's supposed to pick them back up.
Exactly.
And then they all go back to Earth. Yeah, yes. That one.
Yeah, so the one ends up dying. The other one ends up trying to, like, get back to the other guy that's orbiting. And he's... Then, what is it? The Department of Defense, they're telling him, like, no, you cannot... rescue him. He's contaminated. Just leave him there. What it is. And then they all start freaking out, like, oh, we were sent up here as guinea pigs. They knew we were gonna die. They knew this other Russian cosmonaut, like, it ended up dying up here. It's a whole Russian American. They came together and started working together. I think it was weird. So yeah,
that scares me, though. Like, everything scares me, but the idea of, like, the cover up and, like, oh, they knew about it. Like, that also is an element of a scary movie that gets me, you know, when there's always someone who knows,
right.
You know, and they're, like, setting you up. Like, that terrifies me, like the power play type of thing going on.
Yeah.
Because they're sent up there to put detectors for, like, the Russians, but they find out they're
working
to monitor the aliens.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. And that they're working with the Russians at that.
Yes.
Not just like,
yes.
Oh, we're here to spy on him almost.
Right. Yeah. Because they both know what's going on.
Yeah.
They've both been to the moon.
Exactly. We're going to take a quick break, commercial break, and we'll be back and continue talking about Apollo 18 and then move on to First Man.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the Gold Standard in Music Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. We are going to continue talking about Apollo 18, or I guess just kind of wrap up talking about Apollo 18. Before, we were talking about how the conspiracy with, like, setting the satellites on the moon to listen into, like, whatever the Russians are doing, but then the astronaut that's on the moon, one of them who is still alive, finds out that the Department of Defense in America, they're actually working with the Russians, and they're actually there to monitor or the sounds or whatever of alien life.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just, is, you can imagine being an astronaut at that time and then just feel like being completely betrayed and deceived and then left to die.
That'd be the worst.
Yeah. So you kind of feel for them, even though, you know, afterwards you're like, it's not, you know, you tell yourself it's not real, but it, I mean, it's just a conspiracy, or it's just like a, you know, what do you call it? When they want you to believe something that's not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like fabricated.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the feelings of, like, feeling bad for someone who's abandoned, you know, is real.
Oh, yeah.
Because that would be, and I think we'll probably talk about this when we talk about First Man, but, like, the idea of, like, you're alone in space, which is already scary.
Right.
You know, the vastness of it. And then to be betrayed by those who have the power to send you up there and bring you back.
Exactly.
You know? Which also, what I don't understand is, if the one astronaut got back to the astronaut orbiting, and they're telling the guy orbiting, don't let him back on, if he had let him back on, what would the Department of Defense do to keep them from coming back? Like,
right.
Would they turn off the ship? Like, can they do that?
I think they need to have the communication, like we in First Man, the communication has to be there for them to come back, because they have to kind of guide them on
where
it's stuff like that, on how to come back, the the area they need to be as far as like longitude, latitude, maybe, something like that. Yeah. So I feel like that's why they're like, oh, we'll just leave you out there. And I don't know. So that's kind of what I got from it anyway. But you definitely feel for them and empathize on that aspect, especially mm-hmm. when the one guy who's trying to get back to the one that's orbiting, and he can hear him telling him like, no, do not save him, whatever. And he's playing a recording of his son who plays him. Is like, oh, my dad's an astronaut, and just kind of like a, you know, his kid's voice, and it just kind of makes it feel bad because it's like, oh yeah, I get it, and you're gonna die. That sucks.
So, yeah, it's a horror film.
Yeah. But then you get it because it's like, oh, nobody wants to be without their kids or have that betrayal, you know?
Right. Yeah, betrayal of trust. Yeah. And also the element of this film where they like basically keep trying to tell you that this is real.
Yeah.
That it happened.
Even at the end.
Right, at the end, because there's a part with the rocks, right?
Yeah.
When at the end they're like, after NASA's missions, you know, they covered up the death of these astronauts.
Yeah.
And like several NASA rock samples are missing.
Yeah.
You know, trying to say that they're aliens.
Yeah.
Which I just like, I don't know. I think that's, I think it's scary. I think they use that well, and it's mm-hmm. convincing, but it's interesting that the movie is like, this is real.
Yeah.
You know,
I feel like if it was real, I feel like something would have happened by now. Excuse me. Like,
we would all be dead by now.
Exactly. If there's missing rock aliens wandering about, I feel like something would have happened.
Right.
They'd have been like, you guys are destroying your planet. We're going to take over.
Right. So I think that's interesting I think that's an interesting horror tactic to tell you like, this is real.
Yeah.
You
know?
And it's not uncommon. But I think they do it pretty effectively in this. It scared me.
And in that time, like back in 2011, I feel like they did that a lot.
Yes.
It's like, oh, we're going to tell you that this is real, even though it's not. So,
right. I agree.
We're going to move on to First Man, which was released last Friday, the 12th.
Right. So in October
2018. The director is Damien Chazelle. Chazelle. Mm-hmm. I probably butchered this person's name. Anyway, screenplay was by Josh Singer. It's actually, I know that they got some of the information from a specific book.
Yeah, it was the biography of Neil Armstrong.
Yeah. So it's a story of NASA's mission to land the first, like, a man on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And it focuses on Neil Armstrong and the years of 1961 to 1969. So it really shows, which I wasn't expecting, a lot of the struggles Neil Armstrong went through, like, in his personal life and work life to get to be the first man on the moon.
Yeah.
So, which, like I said, I wasn't expecting, because in the trailers that I watched, I was expecting more of them showing the missions, like Gemini and all the other Apollos.
Yeah,
the other Apollos. And I mean, they did touch on Apollo 1 and then the explosion in that.
Mm-hmm.
But like to build up to it and then just actually do it, it didn't really go deep into those other missions. And that's what I was expecting. So I wasn't expecting the whole like personal side of Neil Armstrong. So
yeah.
You watched it, Heidi, right?
And I really, as Ariana, as I was telling you, like, before we recorded, when I think of a movie, like a movie in the theater, I think of a movie like this.
Yeah.
Like, almost like the epicness of like human struggle, you know, and things like that. It kind of reminds me of, like, I recently saw the movie The Post, and it kind of had like a similar feel to me, that this like epic, like American story, you know, it's just like what I imagine when I think of a movie. But because of that, I really enjoyed it. This is the type of movie that I would, you know, really like.
Yeah.
And, just like the way that Ryan Gosling, who plays Neil Armstrong,
right.
The way he portrayed that character, really, really enjoyed. And just like seeing his restraint in his acting was very impressive. Because I've also seen him do, I think it's The Nice Guys.
I don't know.
But in that role, he's like very funny and he's kind of like out there and silly a little bit more, you know, and then seeing him in this type of role, I enjoy seeing his different abilities as an actor.
Right. Because he was really quiet in this movie, which depicted Neil Armstrong as being the more silent type person, especially with personal struggles. And when you would think that you would, you know, want to talk to somebody about something that's happening. And it's like, you're not talking to anybody. This is a horrible way to cope with whatever you're going through. I mean, that's what I think. It's like, I feel like you should be talking to somebody because this is kind of traumatic, you know, and he just doesn't talk to anybody and just kind of deals with it on his own, which definitely shows the effect on his wife and his other two kids in that aspect, because you just kind of feel for him because he's just, I got the, watching this whole film, I noticed that he doesn't talk about anything unless it has to do with work.
Right. Or like, if he's like asked. It's like, yeah, a one word response, yeah, sometimes.
Exactly. And there is one moment where he talks about his daughter and that's it. He just says, oh my, you know, we had a swing like that back in, and Karen loved it. And then that's it. That was the only time.
And I really like, so this movie starts before Neil Armstrong joined NASA. Mm-hmm. And it's when his daughter, who was like 3, was going through cancer treatment.
Right.
And, I mean, this isn't really much of a spoiler, but she dies.
Yeah.
at the very beginning of the movie.
Right.
Yeah. And, just the way that he deals with it. But it's interesting because I almost get the sense that, like, he would still be the same way even if his daughter hadn't died.
Right.
You know, like, he has that very interior, silent, like, introspective, kind of person to mm-hmm. him, and I feel like that's just who he was. And it didn't matter that, I mean, it did matter that his daughter died, but like his personality wouldn't have changed.
Right.
You know, he was always kind of like that silent. And I just, like, to me that made the movie more interesting mm-hmm. because seeing a movie about a character like this who is so quiet, I feel like, is less common.
Right.
You know, like, normally you see like very, like, outrageous characters or loud or just expressive characters. And seeing a movie about a character who is not, I found very interesting. And mm-hmm. that's what made the movie more intriguing to me, because it is about the journey that Neil Armstrong took to get to the moon. It's not necessarily about the moon landing.
Exactly.
You know,
it's
not like Apollo 13 when they're like in space and dealing with that. It's not like that type of film.
No, it's not. Yeah. And when you say you like the aspect of, like, his silence and how it helped, see, that's what bothered me, because I am like, I would have been like the wife, like, you need to talk, but she doesn't really push him at all either. It's not like she goes out of her way to try and talk about it either in some instances of it. Like, they have a lot of moments where they just kind of look at each other in silence, like they're reading each other's minds almost. It's like, is that it? Like, what just happened? Do you understand? Like, I'm lost.
Yeah.
So, and even at the very end in that scene when there's just like a lot of no talking, just staring at each other. And I'm like, what? This, I can't, I don't understand.
Yeah, I do feel like I mean, I guess to reiterate my point is I did enjoy that because, like, there are people like that I know.
Yeah.
You know, and to see a movie about someone like that, I'm like, oh yeah, that's probably exactly how they are.
Oh yeah,
you know?
Of course.
And to
of
see
course.
That person on screen and that type of relationship mm-hmm. is so interesting to watch.
It really
like
is.
Like, how you can see his wife trying to deal with his silence.
Oh yeah.
And, like, because they both lost a child.
Oh yeah.
And to try and see how they adjust and sort of, like, try and support each mm-hmm. other and move on mm-hmm. is really interesting. And how she deals with him going to space, and even though you know, she,
of course,
other astronauts have died mm-hmm. in that attempt, and just, like, seeing it.
Yeah, and just having so many people that he knows during all that, and they just show that. I feel like that was one of the things that they kept, like, touching on and kept, like, drilling in, was, like, everyone around him is dying. Like, all his friends who were on other missions were dying. Anybody he was really close to just dies off. And you're like, really?
Yeah.
So just everybody around him is dying. I mean, I'm sure that like, things have to happen for him to get to where he was, to be the captain of that Apollo mission and be the first person on the moon or whatever. But to just, and it just shows, like, each time somebody died and he got that phone call or he got that knock on the door, he's just more and more silent. And he's just like, okay, just, and then more, you know, dives more into his work and then just focuses more on his work and just kind of shuts everybody else out and everything else out.
Yeah.
So that was interesting to me because I didn't know that that's the type of person he would normally be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it was interesting, because I know with Neil Armstrong, the book that this is based off of, I believe, was the only book that he authorized as being okay about his life.
Yeah.
And just like, he becomes like an American hero because mm-hmm. he went to the moon, but he's so reluctant about all of that.
Yeah.
And so reluctant about the fanfare mm-hmm. and everything. But I enjoyed that. Because I didn't know, because like the other, I guess technically the first man on the moon is Buzz Aldrin, because he took the first step. You know, he's the classic, like, one small step for man, one mm-hmm. giant leap for mankind. Because he's like the more charismatic astronaut,
yeah.
even though Neil Armstrong was the captain
yeah.
of the mission. And just to see their juxtaposition. And in the movie, he kind of comes off as a jerk.
He is very arrogant.
Right.
You're like, really?
Like, Buzz Aldrin's kind of a jerk. And yeah. you kind of, he's annoying.
Yeah.
And I have heard a little bit that he wasn't necessarily like that. Like, that's a little bit from Neil's point of view from
oh,
the book.
Okay, yeah.
Because they didn't really get along.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Like, they didn't get along and they went to the moon together.
And came back. You know? Exactly.
Came back together.
Yeah. He's definitely, they depicted him as the guy that just says what everybody else is thinking and just kind of really doesn't care about it. He
yeah,
just
kind
says
of loud
it
mouth.
So, yeah, so matter of factly, like, what are you going to do?
Right. Like, kinda, this guy died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Move on. Kind of. He's like, really? You guys were working with him and training with him for the last however many months or years, you know? And then it's just like, well, I get his seat now because he's gone. It's like, no, nothing. No sympathy, no empathy. You got nothing. So that was how I felt about it, too. We're going to go and take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back and finish our episode of this movie podcast and finish talking about First Man.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. We're going to continue talking about, or finish talking about, First Man. And what we really wanted to talk about that Heidi mentioned was the cinematography in this movie. And I thought it was great.
Yeah, I loved it. You really notice, at least the first thing that stood out to me about the cinematography was like the handheld shots.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of like sort of shaky camera
mm-hmm.
and darkness. There's a lot of darkness.
Yeah.
Like in the house and at night and on the moon, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
But one of the things I liked about the handheld, and I think that could bother some people because it's kind of shaky, but I like it because it gives me the feel of when you watch like a 60s home video.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like shaky kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely appreciated that. And also like the darkness and kind of like they do some color correcting to kind of like tone it down a bit. It's not very bright.
Yeah.
That adds to like that feel for me of like the 60s. But also some of, like, the darker struggles that I feel like Neil is dealing with. Like, some of the shakiness of, you know, his marriage or his, like, relationship with his children and
right.
his personal relationships. Like, I definitely felt that a little bit through the camera work,
mm-hmm.
and I really appreciated that. And
yeah.
and just, like, when they're in the spaceship and they're going up to space, like, there's so much shaking.
Yeah.
And it made me think about, like, that's probably what it was like.
Right. It gives you that feel of, like, the turbulence or whatever they have to go through, the atmospheres mm-hmm. and everything like that. I hear you on that because I thought the exact same thing. I really liked how it was in the home, too. Even at the beginning when he's holding his daughter and, you know, she's crying and he's kind of, you know, holding her and trying to get her to go to sleep. And you can just see the movement of the of the camera mm-hmm. and how he's just trying to, it's like you said, like almost like a home movie that maybe his wife could have been filming or something right. at the time.
There are a lot of close shots too, like close like face shots, mm-hmm. especially on like Ryan Gosling's character because he's not talking. So he's acting through his face, you know, and they did that a lot. I'm sure
that had to be hard for him too. Like, I wonder how he had to do that. Because he did an amazing job.
He was amazing.
Job. Yeah.
Him and Claire Foy, I believe, plays mm-hmm. his wife.
His wife.
And she also did a great job. Because yeah, she's like the foil to him. She's like more emotional, but at the same time, she's like holding it back. Sort of like she's holding it back because of Neil.
Yeah.
Like for him, because he's not that expressive. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciated seeing that as well. She right. played that very well.
Yeah. I noticed that the way they cope, she gets mad. Like, that's how she expressed herself, through anger. Mm-hmm. And there was times where you could just tell that it was just taking a toll on, you know, Neil, and he just breaks down crying in certain instances. Like, but nobody's around. It's just him by himself, breaks out and just cries and just kind of lets it out and then just kind of moves on after that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she just like just really gets angry, which is understandable. Like not having, like having your spouse there and he's just not talking to you at all about anything. And I don't think that he really understood that she was dealing with it too. Like she's dealing with a loss too. She's concerned about his safety going into space and possibly never coming back. There was a scene where the neighbor lady, one of the astronauts passes. It was when in the Apollo 1 mission when they died and they were living across the street from one of the wives. Oh yeah,
it was like another astronaut's widow.
But, yeah, exactly. And she is just kind of like feeling for her, and then when he's about to leave and go into space and make that, take that mission, and she's telling him, you need to talk to the boys, like you need to tell them the reality that you might not ever come back. I'm not going to tell them that. You have to be the one to tell them that. And she gets upset about it, and it's like, yeah, because you never talk, but it shouldn't be on her to have to worry about what's going to happen with the kids, what's going to happen with everything else if you don't come back. Like, just give them some kind of reassurance or help them feel okay about it, instead of her just listening to the radio, which she did a lot to see what was going on with him.
Yeah, and I loved in that scene when he's talking to his kids, you can see how hard it is for him. Yeah. He's like, you know, like in an interrogation room, the spotlight's on him, and you can see him struggle with that and the different reactions his boys have.
Of course. You know? Oh yeah. The younger one and to the older
and the older one who's more aware and really felt that.
Yeah, you did. And it was weird how it ended up, that conversation. It started off as more of a family conversation in that aspect, and then it ended as almost like a business meeting between him and his kids. So like he asked them at the end, he was like, are there any other questions?
Right.
And he was just very reserved, like how in the interview he had with NASA to get the job in the first place. And he was like, he kind of said the same thing. Was that a question if there's nothing else? And kind of just left it as almost like a business meeting.
Yeah.
I'm like, these are your kids. Like,
yeah.
Come on. But you could just feel how hard it was. The intensity of that scene was just crazy. I liked it, but it was.
Yeah.
You could just feel it.
I just think Ryan Gosling played it so well. I think he acted it so well, and Claire Foy did a great job.
Right.
And I think just this movie, it reminded me of how difficult it was to get to the moon.
Yeah.
You know, because as like an American, I always think about the triumph of us getting to the moon.
Right.
Because I wasn't alive when that happened, you know, so either. I don't remember all of the missions. I just remember like we got to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing all the scenes of them in the spaceship and everything, like how crazy and shaky and rickety everything looks.
Yeah.
And I'm just reminded of how difficult it was for us to do that. Like they didn't even have cell phones and they walked on the moon.
Exactly.
Well, that's insane.
Exactly. The trial and error of it all too was just crazy. Like there was a scene where he was like, oh, we're going to do this. And at what cost? And Ryan Gosling's character, Neil, is like, oh, it's kind of too late to ask that question. Like you can't really say at what cost when so many people have, you know, gone dead because of this, you know, the errors in some things, you know. So, but I really feel like this is a good movie. So, I mean, I would recommend watching it if you're into, like, the space missions and, you know, Neil Armstrong, stuff like that.
Oh, for sure. So, I would definitely say you should go see it. There'll probably be Oscar buzz about it, I suspect. Yeah.
And it is long, so if you want to, it's 2 hours and like 20 minutes. Yeah, something like long. That is long, so be prepared. But it's worth it to sit and watch it all and just watch it all happen. So that is the end of our show today. Thank you so much for listening, and please join us again on another movie podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.